Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. I want to take the opportunity to say that our congregation and myself thanks you for taking the time to listen to this Bible study today. This Bible study was given from the pulpit right here at Open Door Baptist on a Wednesday evening. Our prayer is that this study of God's infallible Word will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. And I want us to read from verse 7 to verse 11. And after I'm done, we'll mention about the how you feel about trying out the Wednesday night service at 6:30. I mentioned Sunday night we would vote on that. We wouldn't make any changes until everybody was heard. And so far, the 6:30 time is dominating. So, but we'll mention that. Then we have something we want to mention about the generator that Tom has wants to donate to the church to help. So we'll mention that also in a little bit. But let's get into the Word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I want us to read verse 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. And one of these verses is going to be my text verse tonight. But I want you to hear me good. And I hope that God will use this for His glory. And I hope that it will be used for your growth spiritually. All right, let's begin reading 1 Corinthians 14, verse 7. And I know I'm picking up with the conjunction, so I know there's some things previously said, but I want to start with 7. And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, how shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me? Thank you, be seated this evening. Now, I wonder how many of you want to scratch your head after reading those verses. What in the world does that mean? Well, tonight, I want to direct your attention to another misinterpreted and misunderstood scripture or scriptures that many people have that we need to talk about. And the verses we read, and in a minute I'll read the main verse or the text verse, that verse is going to open way for you and I to look at a subject that we'll probably have to speak about for two or three Wednesday nights. And I know that you're like me, and you hear all the scriptures that get misinterpreted. And because of this misinterpretation, we can blame it probably on two reasons. Number one, spiritual blindness. I've heard people say, well, the Bible says this, and knoweth in my heart they're so far from being right, it's pitiful, but it's just spiritual blindness. Or the second reason that people misinterpret scriptures is simply because they misunderstand it. Even God's people can misunderstand scriptures. I was mentioning, and Brother Tim Holloway made reference to this Tuesday morning, because he had mentioned that it happened to him too. But when we all get saved and we're just young in the Lord, we're full of zealousness and we're wide open for the Lord. And I know a lot of guys that were saved around I was saved or after I was saved, and boy, they was ready to preach, they was ready to teach Sunday school, they was wide open. And some of the things they said were not scriptural. They didn't do it to try to start a cult or to be wrong, but they just misunderstood what they were reading, and so therefore they misinterpreted it. I don't remember but one specific time, I'm sure there's others when I first started preaching, but one specific time that I misinterpreted a scripture because of my misunderstanding was in Revelation when the Bible speaks about there'd be one coming on a white horse and he went forth to conquer. And of course, you know, you think of a white horse, you think of purity, you think of holiness. I can't think of anybody more holy than Jesus. Then you think of he went forth to conquer and to conquer is the right wording. And I thought, well, that's got to be Jesus. And boy, I was preaching on what Christ means to me. And boy, I went through there, and I think one was a compassionate Christ. And I went through this, and one of my last ones, the last one to make everybody shout and say, boy, what a good preaching that was I said, and he's a conquering Christ, which is right, he is. But I used the wrong scripture. I used that scripture. And I guess you know that scripture is not talking about Christ. That scripture is talking about Antichrist. Amen. But the Lord knew. The Lord knew where I was at. The Lord knew. I used to have that tape. I threw it in the creek somewhere. Amen. I figured out what I did wrong there. But anyway, some folks misinterpret scripture because they misunderstand scripture. And we've got a lot of Christians that misunderstand scripture because they're being taught by a man in the pulpit that don't understand the scriptures himself. He doesn't spend time studying. The Bible requires of me as a pastor to study, to show myself approved. Paul was referring to Timothy when he said this through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He said to study, to show yourself approved. In other words, what you say, it better line up with the book. Amen. Or it says, or you'll be a workman that's ashamed. Amen. That's where they get the AWANA program. A is for A. W is for workman. A is for a not a workman, a not ashamed. AWANA, a workman not ashamed. That's their whole deal. They're raising children and teens up to know the Bible. So in the AWANA program, so they will not be a workman that is ashamed when they speak about the Lord and the Bible. And so a lot of misinterpretations because. Number one, just spiritually blind. You ever talk to a lost man about the Bible? Can I get a witness? It's funny. It's hilarious. It is hilarious to talk to a lost man about God's Word. They have no idea what they're talking about. The Bible says that the natural man cannot discern the things of the Spirit of God, because he's fleshly and he can't understand them. He don't know them. He can't understand them, and so he can't speak about spiritual things. I believe that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 or 2 that Brother Tim is teaching from. But anyway, a lot of things are said about they cannot discern what the things of the Spirit of God because they're not of the Spirit of God. They're not saved. The Holy Spirit does not abide in their life. And so a lot of folks are spiritually blind, so they misunderstand and misinterpret the Bible. And then we've got Christians that innocently, just not knowing, they're not grown up yet in the Lord. They're still drinking the milk of the Word. They've got to mature. You got to start out with milk. Got to start out as a babe in the family of God. You just, no matter how long you've been going to church, when you get saved, you become a babe. You are born. I've never seen an adult born. Babes are the only ones that are born. Amen. And we are born as babes in the body of Christ. And some folks, they grow fast because of their background. As I said, I was saved September 96, called to preach May of 97, in 8 months called to preach. Why? Because of my background. Raised up with a dad that pastored 3 churches and raised up around great men of God. Went to Christian school, attended AWANA clubs, attended a great independent Bible-believing church. And so once I got saved, I really growed in a hurry. And God seen me faithful, the Bible says, and He called me to preach the gospel. But there's still folks today that are sitting in pews that misinterpret the Scripture because they misunderstand it. Now, I want you to look at verse number 9, and I want to read this verse to you, and I hope that you're not ahead of me by reading the first 7 verses, because you'll take my gusto away from me. But verse number 9, notice how this verse reads. So, likewise, ye... Now, the reason he's saying likewise, he's referring to verse number 7. He says, just like if a pipe or the sound of a pipe or the sound of a harp doesn't have a distinction, how are you going to know what the sound of a pipe and what the sound of a harp is? Then he goes on to say, if you don't know the distinct sound of a trumpet, how would soldiers know to go to battle? You remember in the Bible days and all through the Civil War? I mean, that's just the way they blow the trumpet, and the trumpet meant several different things. But one of the distinct sound of the trumpet, blow of the trumpet, meant, hey, it's time to fight. It's time to get in our ranks. It's time to go forward. It's time to battle. And so he says in verse 11, or verse number 9, so likewise, now that he's established that, except ye utter by the tongue... That's the only way we can talk. Can I get a witness? By the tongue. Oh, we can braille and sign language, but he's speaking utter words that flow. We do it by our tongues. Words easy. Notice that word, easy. Words easy to be understood. How shall it be known what is spoken? In other words, if words that are not spoken, and I'm going to tell you what he's referring to. Hang on here. I'm talking about the misinterpretation of this verse. If these words are not understood, if they're not easy words to understand, how shall it be known what's being spoken? Can I put it in our world? How about when you go to a doctor and they tell you about your condition? And they just go on and on. And finally, you have to say, Doc, put it in everyday language, bud. How about just go ahead and tell me in my language? That you ever heard, been that way? You know, we went through with Morgan's leukemia. They had all kind of words. And he said, now you're not going to be able to understand or you won't remember all this. And I'm thinking, no, I'm not going to understand all those foolish words. I can't even read your signature on a prescription card, amen. And speak where I can understand you. And so he's saying, if you don't speak with easy words to understand, how it's going to be known what is spoken? It says, for ye, the outcome is this, you speak into the air. You're just speaking into the air. Now, this is one of the verses that the Bible, the King James Bible critics love to use. They will say that it is God's plan, according to Scripture, that we understand the Bible. Well, it is God's plan we understand the Bible. It is. But you can't understand the Bible without the author living in your heart. But they'll go a step farther and say, it is God's plan, God's will, that we understand the Bible, so therefore, we are commissioned to make the Bible easier to read. Are you with me? So today, what do we have? We've got all types of versions. You can go to the Bible bookstore on any corner of any street of any city of this good country of America, even around the world, and you'll find books that are called Bible. They'll have NKJV. They'll have NIV, RSV, ESV, ASV, Good News for Modern Man, and on it'll go. And you know that for the English-speaking people, that the King James Version was the first. In 1611, when King James took the throne of England, God impressed upon his heart a great desire to have the Greek, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic Bible. There's, I think, Daniel's in Aramaic, but a lot of it's Hebrew, Greek. Have it translated, all 66 books, into the English language. Now, of course, you know in 1611, the English language was not like it is today. They didn't say, what's up, dude? They didn't talk like that back in them days. We have chopped up the English language. I guess the most beautiful language that I believe has ever been, besides Hebrew. It's hard to argue against Hebrew because Jesus spoke it in this world. Of course, he could speak any language, but would be Elizabethan English, the Old English, a beautiful, beautiful. I love watching Civil War movies or watching series on the Civil History series on Civil War. I love to hear them people talk, and I've always wanted to talk like they do. I think it's wonderful. Those Southern ladies just had such a way that they could talk. I mean, it's just a beautiful way back. And that was not exactly like the Elizabethan English, but it was pretty close, a whole lot closer than we are tonight. Amen. And so they've used this scripture as a misinterpretation for their right, hear me, their right to make the Bible easier to read. But there's a problem with that. God's Word is against it. And that's what we're going to be studying, the misinterpretation of this verse that leads to the misinterpretation or misunderstanding of God's Word in general, and more specifically, the King James Bible. Now, the money-loving Bible societies and the Bible publishing companies, they feel that it is necessary and that it is their calling to make the Bible more simpler in language. Now, we're going to talk about why we are King James only here. No one here teaches from any other book. They do. They will get told to hurry. We're not having it. We are King James only, and we stand strong. That is a conviction. Absolutely. There, someone was saying there about preferences and conviction. There's a difference between preferences and preferences you're not as strong about as you are convicted. Preferences you might argue about. You might argue about. But convictions you'll fight and die for. And I've got some convictions. And one of my convictions is the King James Bible is the inspired English version for the English-speaking people. Conviction. I die for it. I die that the blood of Jesus is the only way to heaven. Die for that. There's some convictions that I have. Now, there's some preferences that I have, but I wouldn't die over it. But there are some convictions that I've, and you say, why? No, not because I've been taught it, but because I've took time and I've studied it. And yes, there have been men taught me, but I've studied it and I went through God's Word because I don't care what you say about the subject. I don't want you to care what I say. I want you to care what God says. What does the Bible say about the Bible? All right? So, this verse, look at verse 9 again. It may be more understanding to you now why they would misuse this verse. So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken, for ye shall speak into the air. They say if we don't have Bibles that are like our language and easy to understand, a whole lot easier than that King James Bible, them vowels and these, that just destroys me when I read. Boy, it hurts that. That's what people say. But you got to understand, this verse is not talking about changing the Bible. This verse is talking about speaking in tongues. Now go with me in verse number 1 of the same chapter. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. Now, what he's saying there to the church here at Corinth, they were bragging on their spiritual gifts. They were saying, well, I'm a better Christian because I can do this and do this and do that. And there's a whole lot of different spiritual gifts. Okay? There's a whole lot of different spiritual gifts. God has gave me the gift of teaching, the gift of preaching. God has gave my wife the gift of playing gospel music and singing. God has given some of you the gift of teaching, the gift of encouraging, the gift of edifying. God has given different gifts. Some have been given the gift of giving. Some have been given the gift of loving people that are unlovable. And there's so many different gifts that we have through Jesus Christ. And so, he says here in verse 2, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, This is a tongue that no one else knows. They don't understand the language. Speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. You say, well, there it is, preacher. Speaking in tongues is correct. We're not done. Verse 3. But he that prophesieth, that means speaketh the word of God, unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. God says, verse 3, as member of the church, we're to edify each other. The Bible says to exhort one another. Barnabas was a wonderful example of exhorting others, encouraging others. What a wonderful example. He says, if you speak in an unknown tongue, and we're going to talk about the word tongue, what it means, you edify yourself or himself. But he that prophesieth, those that speak the word of God, that's what it's in reference to, they edify the church. So it says in verse 5, I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather. Now that's, we're going to talk about tongue speaking, the misinterpretation there, and I'll be using verse 5. But it says, I don't desire you to speak with an unknown tongue, but rather that ye prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Now the word tongue is the same usage in the, you find in the book of Acts. When the Bible says they spoke with unknown tongues. It is a dialect. It is a language. Paul is saying, why would somebody come into the Corinthian church, and whatever language was their main language in that day, in that area, I don't know if it was Greek or what it was, Jewish or Hebrew, whatever it was, but he says, if you had somebody come in, and they begin to speak German. Somebody came in and stood in the pulpit and they begin to speak Persian or Russian. Somebody came in and they begin to speak in some unknown tongue. You don't know it. If you have a missionary that was a missionary to China, he came to our pulpit and he just started talking Chinese. That would be an unknown tongue to us, right? We'd be like, yeah. And you'd be like, you want to say amen because you want folks around you to think you understand what the man's saying, but you ain't got no idea what he's saying. Unless he sings a song and you hear the music and say, oh, that's Jesus Loves Me. I know that song. But he says an unknown tongue. Why would people come in? He says they're not edifying the church. When the people leave the sanctuary, they're like, what did he say? What was that about? Didn't understand that. He said it wouldn't edify. It would confuse. Jesus said that God is not the author of confusion. God's not wanting to confuse you. Satan does. And Paul is saying those that come in and speak in another language that no one understands at this church, they are edifying themselves. It makes them look like they're really smart or really holy or really great. But you in the congregation, you're like, what'd he say? What's that mean? He tell me to comb my hair. He said we're dismissed. He says it's time for the offering. What did he say to turn to? I ain't got no idea what the man's talking about. He says they don't edify the church. And so it says verse 6, now brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, by the way, Paul, I'm going to say something that I'm going to have to make a statement, and then I'm going to have to make another statement so you understand what my first statement means. Paul spoke in tongues. The word tongue here in verse 6 refers to languages. Paul spoke several different languages. Paul is saying, if I come to your church and you are Hebrews, speaking the Hebrew language, or you speak the Greek language, the Roman language, whatever it is, he said, if I come in your pulpit and you gather around to hear me, I founded this church, and I was the one that first preached the gospel unto you. And everybody said, boy, we're going to have revival. The Apostle Paul's coming by. And I got in the pulpit, and you've been praying, you've been excited, you've been looking forward to hear from the Apostle Paul. And I began speaking in German. He said, what profit would it be? How would you be edified with that? He says, verse 6, now, brethren, if I came into you speaking with tongues, and he could have, He could have spoke other languages. What shall I profit you? Paul learned from Gamaliel, one of the greatest teachers at that time. He said, what does it profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And then he goes on, here he goes, verse 7, and even things without life, giving sound. In other words, he begins to give examples. He said, let's talk about a pipe, a harp, a trumpet. He said, if it spoke in a undistinctive sound, you wouldn't know what the pipe was, you wouldn't know what the harp was, and you wouldn't know what a trumpet was. He said, and it would be all confused. He said, this speaking in this another language when others don't know the language is confusion. And then those that come in and talk like they got a mouth full of rocks that don't make any sense, he says, that's not profiting you. And so he goes on in verse 9. So likewise, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood. Now you understand, don't you? Paul says, verse 9, except you talk to each other in the language you understand, what profit is it to each other? What profit is it to each other? How would you be profited spiritually if someone spoke to you in a language you didn't understand? So he says, how shall it be known what's spoken? How shall it be known what's spoken? Now, all right, if someone was to come up here, let's say I was to go to India. You know, they've been asking me to go to India, and they've been to Africa and Kenya. If I was to go over there, and let's say that there were some in the congregation that I think in India, I forgot how many languages are spoken in India. I mean, it's more than a handful. If I was to go over there and stand before those folks of India, and I was to stand there and I begin to preach, some know their English, some can pick up some words of English language, and some have no idea. And I would begin to preach like I'm preaching or teaching to you tonight. I would not be any profit for God's glory to that congregation. Can I get an amen? It's very simple. If you can't agree, you need to go back to third grade. It's very simple stuff. They would not profit for me speaking in English when they could not understand English. Now, if I had the pastor there that knew English, he would what? Interpret. Look at verse number five, the latter part. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret. Paul said, now you can have a man come in there that speaks another language, but you better have an interpreter, because if you don't, he says, the church will not profit from his preaching or teaching. And so that's where we are. And I'm not going to be able to get much there. That's why I said it's going to take 2, 3, maybe 4 Wednesday nights. And so what is happening, this verse number 9, has been taken and misinterpreted to commission or to justify why Bible societies and why Bible publishing companies have revise what they'll call it. The word revise means corrected. You ever had a revised edition of a book, or they corrected some things. And so they feel that because of God's Word, they have been given liberty, they've been given justification to simplify the King James Bible. Another name for the King James is the AV, Authorized Version, because it was authorized by not only King James, but it was authorized by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now go to Psalms chapter number 12, and we won't get much more out of this. Just let's say something about Psalms 12. Go there, you got to see this, Psalms 12. We're going to be dealing, and I would beg you not to miss. If you have questions, that's okay to have questions. It's okay to have comments in your mind because you may not have been taught the truth of the Word of God. You will get the truth here. I make no apologies for giving the truth at the Open Door Baptist pulpit. And the only apology I need to give you is when I don't give you the truth, because I don't want to offend you or bother you or make you uncomfortable. God forbid that your pastor has the reputation of other men in our area, in our state, in our country, that are fearful of offending people. I was amazed this week. An NBA basketball player came out as gay. He is the first major sports figure, male, that has pronounced that he was gay. Basketball, football, hockey, and baseball. Four major sports in America. He's the first one. He came out just some time after a girl that played for Baylor that people just raved about her, Brittany, I forgot her last name. She's a real tall girl. She dunks all the time. She's number one pick in the WNBA draft. And she told Sports Illustrated that she's gay. And so the next day on Yahoo News, on the internet, it said that if a male athlete would come out gay, pronounce he was gay, he would probably get major endorsements. And Nike has now signed an endorsed contract with the Brittany, a girl from Baylor, to show their support for gay athletes. And just in a few moments of time, now a black fella has come out and said, "I'm gay." And he's not playing now because their season's over with. They're in the playoffs now. He was playing for the Washington Wizards. But he played for the Boston Celtics for some time, but he's come out and said he's gay. But I'm amazed of you may have been watching TV. You can't watch news or Sports Center without hearing something about this gay athlete coming out. And it's not negative. It's all positive. Even our president called him and offered his support. I was somewhere the other day and I was reading an article on the internet and it was a video and this one guy come out and said that he was gay. He is a kicker for Middle Tennessee State. They were saying, "Will a gay man get drafted in the NFL? I thought, "Lord God, please don't let it be the Washington Redskins. I'll have to be an Atlanta Falcon fan." But I wasn't an angel. I said, "Please God, don't let my team draft him." And anyway, he didn't get drafted. But they were talking about he's openly gay. And they were talking about it. And he made this statement. This is how foolish this statement is. He said, "God made me this way." There are too many more foolish statements in the world that's anti-Bible. The book of Romans says that they've left the natural use of their bodies. That's what Paul said to the Roman church, not Roman Catholic, the church at Rome. He says, God says they left. They left. God didn't make them gay. They left being straight, being right. They left men with men. And women with women doing things that I think the word is unseemly, unrighteous, wickedness. It's wickedness. I'll say this so you'll know where I stand. Homosexuals can be saved. But the Bible says that it's a real slight chance because they've been turned over to a reprobate mind. Their conscience has been seared. And I'm so sick. Of getting on the internet and seeing that last night at midnight, the first women couple were given their civil union in Colorado. And they were celebrating. I tell you, it's sickening. God was so sick with Sodom and Gomorrah that He burned the place down. And I'm telling you, it's a sickening sin. And the news media, the sports centers, they're trying to convince our young folks that being gay is okay. But I'm going to tell you, homosexuality is still a sin. And it makes God sick on His stomach. And I hope that you help someone that professes to be homosexual. But if you can't help them, you better be beware of that crowd. Amen. Come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. I thought that was sad how our world. I was going to put on a church sign. They said the I believe the president of the NBA made this statement. I believe it was him or it was the spokesperson for Obama. One of them made the statement that when he came out gay, made it public, a professional athlete in a major sport, he said, it proves, don't you listen to this garbage from hell, it proves that America has progressed. Oh, God help us. I'm going to put on the church sign. I'm probably still going to do it. It's so strong in my heart. What most folks in America call progress, God calls degression. Going backwards. We're not progressing as a nation. This nation as a whole, I'm not talking about God's people at Stanford, right? This nation as a whole is going farther away from God. Farther and farther and farther away from God. I read today about a man that raped a 6-month-old baby. And I read how many people are in prisons in America that have raped babies and children less than 2 years of age. This country is on a fast train to hell. And I thank God I'm not on that train with them. I thank God I'm saved. And I'm telling you, we're living at a bad time. And the reason that this church won't be a very big church is because our stand with God's Word. Your preacher is not going to back down on a stand on God's Word. Don't pray that he will. You're wasting your breath. I'm going to stand with God. And I'm telling you, homosexuality is a sin. I'm telling you, abortion is a sin. I'm telling you, it's amazing that we can call baby murder, we call it abortion now. Instead of calling them drunks, we call them alcoholics. I'm telling you, this country has tried to glorify and colorify sin up, make it look pretty. But God's Word says sin is wicked, and it's what separated us from God. It's the reason His Son had to die on a cross. Don't tell me that you hate that God's Son had to die on a cross and you still play with sin, because sin is the reason that He died on the cross. Sin is the reason there's a hell. Because if you don't allow Jesus to pay your sin debt, you're going to have to pay that debt forever in hell. Thank God Jesus paid a debt I could not pay. Oh, I'm glad He paid a debt that He didn't owe. I owed a debt. Oh, I owed a debt, and I needed somebody to wash my sins away. Thank God Jesus paid our debt. Glory be to God with that. All right, let's read this and close. This is 8 o'clock. Verse number 6 of chapter 12 of Psalms. I thought I'd just share that with you. We need to be aware of what's going on in our world. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. There's 5 things that is mentioned about God's Word, just the way He gave it. Number 1, it's inspired, because the Bible says, verse 6, it's the words of the Lord. Any Bible society or Bible publisher takes the King James or the Authorized Version, and they are to change the wording to the words they, man, thinks is better, then it no longer is God's Word, it is words of man. But the only words that are inspired are not our words, the words of the Lord. Can I get an amen? The words of the Lord are inspired. Number 2, you see the purity. They are what? Pure words. And they are what? Purified 7 times. The word 7 in our Bible, numerology, I love Bible numerology. The number 7 means completeness or perfections. The Bible is saying that we're talking about what does God's Word say about itself. Number 1, it's inspired because it's the words of the Lord. Number 2, it's pure. And number 3, it's complete. Nothing you need to add to it. Didn't Revelation say don't add to it? Then Revelation said, don't take away from. Why? It's complete. It's perfect. You're not supposed to add to anything that's perfect, friends. Shows completeness. That's the third thing. The fourth thing, verse 7, thou shalt keep them. What is he going to keep? Verse 6, the words. God said he would keep his words. What does that speak of? It tells us his word is eternal. It is eternal. It's not only inspired, it's not only pure, it's not only complete, but it's eternal because the Lord will keep them. You know what that means? The words of the Lord will be around as long as the Lord is around. You're right. Whoever said forever, God bless y'all. Forever and ever. Don't worry about His words being lost. Alright? Then the seventh thing is, you see, inspiration, purity, completeness, eternal. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's five. I'm almost to seven. I got on seven. But five is preservation. O Lord, Thou shalt preserve them. But it doesn't stop there, does it? From this generation, doesn't stop there either, does it? Somebody want to help me with the last two words? Forever. Thank you. His word is preserved. Let me say something to you. Strongly believe this. Always believe this. Didn't start believing it yesterday. Believe this before I became pastor here. Believe this while I was working there at Faith Baptist. Believe this after I was saved. Believe it till the day I die. The King James Bible, the authorized version, is God's only inspired word because it's God's word and it's not been corrected, so to speak, by man. I don't want a book that was wrote by imperfect man. I want a book that was wrote by perfect God because there's no mistakes with it. And we're going to be talking about this book that is under attack. We're going to be talking about the King James Bible. And we'll, Lord willing, if the creek don't rise, as they used to say, and the Lord don't call me home, we're going to be looking at the misinterpretation and the misunderstanding of this verse tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 9, that these men, these societies, were given the right, they were given the liberty to make the Bible easier to understand. I'll say this to you. A lot of things has changed. There's been over 70, and what I call them, and all men of God, people of God, we don't call them revisions. We call them perversions. They've perverted the Bible. There are been over 70, that was just a few years ago, so it may be, I know it's got to be more than that because they come out with it. Some type of a new perversion, it seems like every year. But just a few years ago, there were around 70 perversions that had been published to supposedly make the King James easier to understand. I'm going to be talking to you about how easy the King James is to understand. I'm going to be talking to you about how hard the NIV is to understand. Do you know that the King James Bible, this was done by educators, and I'm going to be naming specific, give me all this information. They came with this study. Here's the result. King James Bible is wrote on a fifth grade reading level. The NIV is wrote on an eighth grade. I thought the NIV was made simpler. No. It's three grades higher. The New King James is wrote on a 7th, 8th grade level. And so, this foolishness that is going around, you need this Bible because it's easier to read. It's easier to understand. We're going to be telling you that the King James has more short words in it than the NIV does. The King James has more short words, less letters per word, than the New King James does. the King James also has less longer words than the NIV does. Doesn't make sense. Telling me it's making it easier, but the NIV and the New King James has bigger words in it? Telling me it's easier, but the King James has more shorter words? Doesn't make sense to me. Somebody's lying. And when we're done, you're going to have to determine, is your pastor lying? Or is these Bible societies, these Bible publishers, are they lying? You know, it's one thing to say, I believe the King James Bible. It's another thing to know why you do. And we don't want to be like the man that went to his job, and boy, he was talking about the King James Bible, and he said, I wouldn't have any other Bible but the King James. And the guy that was in a liberal church that their pastor preached from another so-called Bible, a perversion of the King James. He said, well, we use so-and-so. And he said, well, I don't understand why y'all only King James. And we use several different Bibles at our church. Sometimes our Sunday school teacher reads from two or three different copies, different versions, and y'all only have one. And he said, oh, yeah, that's all we believe. And he said, well, tell me why you believe the King James is the only Bible. It is the right Bible. It is God's Bible. Why? He said, well, I believe it because my preacher believes it. And the guy said, well, why does your preacher believe it? He said, I don't know, but we believe it. That's bad. We don't want to be that way. You need to be grounded on these convictions that you are to have as Christians in the New Testament church. Why you believe what you believe. You don't believe it because Pastor Lee believes it. You believe because you've studied it, you've heard men of God, people of God discuss it with you, and they have showed you evidence. I mean, they've laid it right in your lap, and you either turn your head and say, I ain't believing it. I'm not. Or you say, wow, there is something to this thing. And there's a lot we're going to talk about in these next two or three Wednesday nights about how folks misinterpret and misunderstand the Bible because of all the other simpler or simplified perversions, so to speak. And that is one of the main reasons, besides spiritual blindness and not being growing in the Lord, but that's the third reason why I believe so many people don't know their Bibles. They don't understand it. They don't properly interpret it. They don't properly put it in context. It's because they've got a funny Bible. And because of that, the language has been perverted. The words have been perverted by sinful man. But God said, the words of the Lord are pure words. The words of the Lord are purified, seventh. They're complete. And so we'll be talking more about that. So, thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says in John, chapter number 14, that Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins, and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin, and turn to Jesus Christ, and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this, and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.